All right, let's give it up for these. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. What a great day today is to celebrate what God has done in and through the ministry of this church. And thank God for these leaders, the spiritual leaders that have been a part of this journey. And what an honor it is for me to be in this position here to serve as the lead pastor of this church. Today we've had some people dress up today in your favorite gear. And then wasn't it wonderful to see the transition happen in that young lady's life? She went down just kind of the normal went down as a Viking fan, and they just we just want you to know how open of a church we are that we would do such a thing. So glad that you've come today to be a part of this celebration. Again, people are wearing their sport wear because we call it Kickoff Sunday. We are kicking off the life groups ministry of this church. We've been talking all this summer about the power of community, and we invite all of you to come and join us in this community of these groups that we call life groups. And so we have many different ones. Just quickly here, we got a Frisbee Golf life group. We have a Thrive Young Adults life group, Friends of Jesus. We have a marriage life group, Faith Foundations. I have a life group that I'm going to be leading, and this would be for new believers or people who just kind of want to grow in their faith, and you feel like I'm just at, and maybe you're at seeker level, and just kind of wanting to know more. I invite you to come to my life group on Wednesday night. And then we have a 55-plus group that meets on Wednesday mornings, and many more. I just invite you and ask you that you would go to the Connect Center to learn more about the life groups. We're going to have life group leaders who are going to be stationed around the building and the gymnasium. We want to invite all of you today at the end of the service that we're going to have a meal for you. And so we'll be opening up the doors here, and all of you are welcome to come in and take part of that meal and to celebrate the 115th anniversary. But I want to talk today about Thrive Church as a legacy church. And that word legacy, it's how you, we talked about this in our circle prayer time, is how you live your life. And it's the things that you have passed down and you've invested into others. How many of you are here today because somebody invested into your life spiritually? Somebody who's left a legacy in your life. Hey, I want you to know my parents left a legacy in my life. I heard their stories about how they became born-again Christians, and they lived a legacy life, and I grew up in that home, and they passed on the legacy to me. And I want to pass that on to my children and to the church today. And so today we are celebrating Thrive Church's 115 years of legacy ministry in the 715 area code. Let me tell you a little bit about the story. As was mentioned earlier here, in the 1900s, there was a group of people who wanted to see revival. Group of people, and there's groups, pockets of people all around the state of Wisconsin, and they just began to pray that God would show up in people's lives, that life change would happen, that people would be awakened to the power of God, that God would transform and change people's lives. And so they begin to pray. Now, how many of you know that's the beginning stage? Is it always starts with prayer? When we ask God, God, we need you. Can we just do that right now? Can we just do that right now? We're in election season. Can we just stop and say, God, we need you? God, we need you in this land. God, we need you to pour your spirit out, Father. We come to you as a corporate body and say, God, we need you. Come and heal this land in Jesus' name. You know, that's one of the most powerful prayers you can pray is, God, I need you. God, I need you. And so there's a group of people that begin to pray. And sure enough, in three particular areas all across the state of Wisconsin, in Gleason, in Dallas, and in Wausau, God began to show up in people's lives. And in 1909, there was the first public meeting. The group of people, they got together. And what they did is they met in a Methodist chapel on East Wausau Avenue. And I went to a couple of these places, and I could not find the exact address. But I tell you, it's over by Woodchuck Stadium. That's where the first church started to meet. And they named themselves the Full Gospel Mission. And the first pastor was Pastor Frederick Link. And then in September, 1 year later, in the spring of 1 year later, they moved to a house on DeKalb Street. And 5 years later, they moved to the corner of 6th and Scott Street, purchasing a building known as Lemke's Church. In 1922, they purchased the former Baptist church on 6th and Steuben, and they remained there for 33 years. This is kind of in the area of the 6th Street filling station, right around there. And they stayed there, and they ministered, they impacted their community for 30-some years. In 1922, they changed the name to Christian Assembly. How many of you have heard of Christian Assembly? Yeah. And that's when it was happening. And then in 1932... Christian Assembly officially joined with the General Council of the Assemblies of God, which was just started in 1914. So just pause here for a moment. Thrive Church is older than the Assemblies of God. Isn't that cool? Talk about a legacy church. Check this out. 1936, Pastor John Ashcroft was the pastor. His grandson would become the Attorney General under President George Bush. During this period, God began to move in Christian Assembly. The church was known for as being a Pentecostal spirituality, and they began to have street revivals. And it says that in these street revivals, people would get in line so that they can participate in baptism just like this, because they're saying, listen, Jesus came into my life and he changed me, and I want the whole world to know. You know what that is? They were proclaiming life change, this ministry of life change. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. 1955, Pastor Earl Cleveland, he built a large church on William Street, which seated nearly 300 people. And in 1955 to 1990, Christian Assembly worshiped then in the Thomas Street facility. We have pictures of this? Yeah, have you? On Franklin, right by Dairy Queen. How many of you feel like we should have a Dairy Queen right next to Thrive Church? We should look into that. I agree with that. They ministered there for 35 years. And then in 1990, Pastor Randy Stecker, he just began to call out to God and say, God, I believe that there's more. I believe that there's more in store for Christian Assembly. And he began to pray. And the vision was given to him about this building, the old mall furniture store opened up at 400 Grand Avenue. And there was a vision that was given. And it was a small church, and how can we afford? But people took that step of faith, and God provided. And that first of all, what happened is that this church, when they purchased this building, the pastor said on the very last Sunday, he said, okay, this is our last Sunday here, and now we are moving on. We are crossing over the bridge. And they crossed over. They walked out of the church building, and they walked over the Thomas Street Bridge, and they walked into this building, into a new beginning. And God began to move mightily. Amen? Yeah, that's a wonderful thing. And so there was a lot of renovation that took place here, a lot of things that were happening here. And so at first the auditorium was built, and then a daycare facility was built. In 1991, Pastor Dennis Romine came to Christian Assembly, and he started working on completing the building renovations. In 1995, Pastor Romine completed the building by adding classrooms and doubled the seating capacity with the balcony that you see back here. Pastor Romine served faithfully at Christian Assembly and the 715 for 25 years. Many of you, yeah. Many of you have been impacted by his legacy that he passed down. Under his leadership, I looking through some of the forms, I looked at their mission statement, and their mission statement was this, and check out how close it is to ours: to experience Jesus, to discover community, and impact lives. Well, that sounds a lot like to me, to connect with Jesus, to grow together, and to serve our world. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, isn't that interesting how it's passed down? In 2015, Pastor TJ and Robin came, and they served and impacted this church and this community in incredible ways. And during their ministry, the church grew. They had dynamic growth and great community impact here at Thrive Church. And it was during this time that Christian Assembly changed its name to Thrive Church. And it became the vision of the church, becoming a place for people to come and experience the transforming power of the Holy Spirit and to thrive as God created them to thrive. Amen? And many of you, there's many of you are here today because of the impact of Pastor TJ and Robin and their investment in your lives. In March of 2020, very well-known pastor, Pastor Sheldon and Michelle Miles, came to this church, and it was during a difficult season. You see, as we're trying to kind of forget a lot of the things of 2020 and the COVID epidemic, and it was during that time that a lot of churches, a lot of people were stepping away from church and stepping away, and so there was a kind of a difficult season that the church went through with the whole pandemic, but God began to start to move and start to rebuild, and God has been working in this church, and the vision has been restored to lead people in the 715 to become life-giving followers of Jesus, and that was just over 4 years ago, and God is working today, amen? God is still working. In my reading, my research, here's what I discovered about Thrive Church. Thrive Church has always been a Spirit-led church. Again, from its very beginning, the people gathered together and they prayed for a move of God. In other words, they said, hey, we got this idea, and like, wait a second. Let's put God out in front. Spirit, you lead us. You lead us. And I want you to know, as the pastor of this church, I strive, I do my best. I got a lot of ideas and things that come to my mind, but I try to do my best to make sure that we are a Spirit-led church and that the Spirit is impacting lives, because He is the change agent that we talk about. When we talk about life change, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Thrive Church has always been a church that's impacting its community. Again, in the early days, they had street revivals. And as I said before, people were lining up. So we know that there was great impact because people were lining up and saying, I want to be baptized. My life has been changed. I want to tell the whole world about this. Somebody said this, that we know Jesus came to give us, this was in their brochures, we know Jesus came to give us abundant life, and our desire for you is that you experience real life found only in Jesus. This has always been the mission, this mission of life change. When I talk about the mission of life change, I always think of Luke 4:18. Some people say, what does life change happen? And Jesus came in Luke 4:18 and he proclaimed, this is why I came. And he said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. Let's just stop here for a second. Jesus said, listen, I've come to give you a message, this message of life change. That through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, your spiritual life can be changed and it will change everything. And he says, I've come to share with you this message. And then he said this. He says that he has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. What does that mean? If you're in captive, if you're in jail, it means you're stuck. How many of you remember those days of being stuck in your sin? Remember those days of being stuck in your sin? And you asked Jesus to come into your life, and he took the keys, and he opened that jail cell, and you were released. And life change began to happen. The second thing that Jesus says, that the blind will see. In other words, I believe that when life change happens, people get healed in Jesus' name. We want you to know every single Sunday, we pray for healings to take place in this worship service. And that's why we take time for people to pray in the back. We believe that even while you're worshiping, God is beginning to work in broken bodies, broken hearts, broken marriages. God is just really good at taking things that are broken and making them better than new. And then Jesus says that the oppressed would be set free. I believe that Jesus, when life change happens, he begins to change your habits. He begins to take those strongholds and breaks chains, breaks strongholds and sets people free. So that's when you say, well, what does life change mean to me? That means that people are saved, people are healed, and people are set free. Do we have anybody that's in this room where your life has been changed in Jesus' name? Will you raise your hand? Will you give a shout out to God? And so that's what was happening. Thrive Church has always been a church about life change. And we continue this life change today. the third thing that Thrive Church has always been a church, it's been a sending church. You see, throughout its history, it's been known for raising up pastors and missionaries from within the congregation and sending them out. You see, many pastors, missionaries today that are in the mission field are leading churches, spiritual organizations, and we probably could have had an hour of pastors that we could have interviewed that their lives that came up out of this church. And it's exciting to know this, that Thrive Church is continuing to be ascending church. I announced this here a couple months ago, but do you realize there are nine people in this congregation who are pursuing their credentials to be credentialed ministers of the Assemblies of God? Isn't that awesome? Life change. And so I want you to know this. When you're investing in the next generation, when we come to you and say, hey, listen, hey, give to Impact, and when you give to Impact, it sends teenagers to camp. Do you realize that I think the statistics are 80 to 85% of people who are called into the ministry, it happens at youth camp. And so our camp attendance has increased when we discovered that. And we want you to know, we want to say thank you to you for your financial investment to send teenagers and young kids to camp, because we want to continue that legacy, right? We want that to continue. So it's been a Spirit-led, impact, and sending church. It's in our DNA. It's in our DNA. We want to make a difference. You know, there is no sadder story than a wasted life. No sadder story than to see a life that's wasted. When you click on the news and you see that a life was taken, or that person had, a young person had taken their own life, we see that it's sad when we see an addiction take over somebody's life. We see it's a sad story when you see somebody who was so close to God and they begin to walk away from Him. There's nothing sadder than a life that's walked away. But in the book of Colossians, Paul is writing a letter to a church that was making an impact in his community. They were changing. They were turning this around. I want you to listen to how he starts this letter. In Colossians 1, he says this. He says, Paul is saying to this group, we always pray for you. Again, the power of prayer. Continue to pray for your church. Continue to pray for the spiritual leaders in this church. Amen? We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen closely here. Listen to the legacy that this church was leaving on people. He says, the word is out about you guys. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which comes from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You've had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. You see, he says it's not just in Colossae where the city was at, but it's happening all over the world. Because of what you're doing, you're making an impact in all of the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. So I want to talk to you this morning about three lasting qualities of a legacy church. Because we talked about legacy here, right? A legacy thing, we don't want to just like come to this day and like celebrate 115 years and say, whew, wow, now it's over. No. The legacy must continue. The legacy must grow. So I want to talk to you here about three qualities of a legacy church: faith, love, and hope. Faith, love, and hope. Three qualities. Number one, these are three qualities that we must pass on to the next generation. First thing is we must be a people that live by faith. Each and every one of you, if you're a Jesus follower today, you're called, you're challenged to live by faith and not by sight. You see, this early church, they were impacting their world. Have you ever had somebody's faith, because of how they lived their life and practiced their faith, it impacted your life for the good. How many of you are here today because of the impact of somebody else's faith? Will you raise your hand? There's hands all around this room. Somebody impacted you. I'm so grateful for the youth pastors that I've had in my life. Because when I was young and I was just still figuring out my faith journey, and I was, you know, when you're a teenager, you reach the age where, like, you don't hear your parents any longer. Sorry. But you hear the input, you hear the impact, the investment of other people, leaders, young adult leaders. And by the way, we have a great group of young adult, youth, and children's leaders. Can we please give them a round of applause right now? They are investing in their lives. And I just know that the investment that my youth pastors made in me, I just saw that they lived differently, that they were not perfect, but I saw in them, and they challenged me, hey, Sheldon, listen, I know this is what you see, but what if, just what if you lived your life by faith and not by sight? Because it's different. It's different with God. God says, I know what you see in the natural, but what if you would just look at the world through my eyes? And when I look through the Word of God each and every day, that's why it's so important for you to get into the Word of God each and every day, because what you do is you begin to see the world through God's eyes. And that's when faith begins to rise up in you. Again, the Apostle Paul says, we live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight. What does this really mean, to live by faith? I'll tell you the key word here. If you want to write this word down, it's not in your notes, but write down this word. This, what does it mean to live by faith? The key word is obedience. Obedience. What does that mean? You see, faith begins when you say, I believe God exists. If that's you, just say, God, I believe God exists. I believe God exists. Okay. Faith is beginning. I believe God speaks to me. Let's go ahead and say that. If you believe it, don't say it if you don't believe it. I believe God speaks to me. He speaks to me through His Word and through His Spirit, and I believe that He gives me direction for my life. I believe I can hear God speak. Not only does He speak, but I can hear Him speak. Do you see how faith is beginning to grow in you? How many of you believe these things? Raise your hand. I want to make sure you're with me here. I believe God exists. I believe He speaks. I believe I can hear Him speak. And then number four, I believe Him when He speaks. I believe Him when He speaks. And then number five, I show my faith in Him by obeying what He has spoken to me. Now, when you begin to obey what He has spoken to you, now you are walking by faith. And like, I know it doesn't make sense. I know what I see, and the math doesn't add up and everything. But God told me to do this. And I'm going to walk by faith according to His Word. And by the way, when you live by faith and not by sight, periodically you need to stop and make sure that it's lining up with the Word of God. But that's what it means to walk by faith. And I believe that's how this church got started. There was a group of people, I believe God. I believe God speaks. I believe God wants to do a great thing in this community. And let's just take a step of faith and see if something can happen, and we could maybe get a Bible study together. Maybe we could get a life group together. And like, wait a second, things are beginning to happen. Maybe we could start a church. And maybe we could impact our community. Just maybe. Just maybe, but you can say maybe all day long, but it doesn't happen until you walk by faith and not by sight. Is everybody with me? And so, church, I'm saying that we must be a church of faith. There was a former member who said this, and they're talking about the moment that they moved from the Thomas Street Church into this building. And you can imagine that was a big step of faith, okay? Big step of faith. And the person said, the thing I remember most has been how the Lord helped us through this every problem. This is what I bank on for the future. The Lord has been faithful to us, and will continue to lead us. You see, the Lord was faithful to their faithfulness. Does that make sense? The Lord, they were being faithful, and God said, hey, I'm going to honor that. May we say with assurance sometime in the future that we remember when the Lord beautifully met with us on our first Sunday. They believed God existed. They believed God spoke. They believed they heard from God. They took a step of faith, and God showed up in miraculous ways. Amen. How many of you have been, again, you've been inspired by somebody's faith? There was a season of ministry that we took a step away from pastoring. And I got a job working for a chaplain, as a chaplain for a company. And there were the company's owner, his name was Steve Nguyen. I think I've talked about him before. But Steve Nguyen was a very interesting man. He had a business where he had a caregiver business. And he took care of people who were sick and on difficult stages of life. And so my responsibility, I was a chaplain for the caregiver. At that time, it was over 900. But in 2006, when his organization first started, he's like, man, this thing is killing me, man. I just problems and difficulties. And he's trying to do it on his own. He's trying to make it happen. He was a Jesus follower, but he was trying to make it. He was walking by sight and not by faith. Now, the Lord began to convict him. And one day he made the decision, and he took his org chart, and he took his name off the top of the list as CEO of the organization. And instead, he wrote in the name, you might want to write this down, God. And on that day in 2006, Steve Nguyen made God the CEO of his organization. Now, some of you are like, that doesn't make sense. I cannot see how that works. It worked. It works. And on that day, what he was doing was committing, God, I can't do this business on my cat. I need to be spirit-led. God, I need you to lead me. And I'm telling you, it's just listening to his testimony, tears well up in his eyes every time he says, that was the day that this organization changed. And it grew dramatically. And he made God principles. He said, the number one core value in our organization is love. I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. But love. Love is a verb. And his company grew. And even today, it still continues to grow. He made God the CEO. And so that's why we have committed. I put in your bulletin. I just did it this morning. I put in your bulletin the list of our church current core values. And I want to commit to you today that we are going to continue to strive to be spirit-led. What that means to us is we will passionately pursue and humbly follow the Holy Spirit as our leader for living. I just want you to know I'm doing my best to make Jesus the CEO of this church. How many of you believe it will go better if we do that? So I resign as CEO, okay? Second of all, the second quality of a legacy church, that church is known by love. It says in verse 4, and your love for all of God's people. People are like, oh my goodness, these people are so loving. Isn't it interesting? More songs have been written about this topic, this thing called love, than just about any subject, right? And of all the things we need in this world, this is one of the biggest. I just want you to know, I don't know where you're at. You just might be the hardest person. But I'm telling you, each and every single person in this room, people who are watching online, one of your biggest needs is to be loved, to know that you're loved and to be loved. And as Jesus followers, we are called to be known by our love for God and for others. Jesus said it's the biggest commandment. Love me with everything. And the way that you know that you love me with everything is that you love others as you love yourself. Do you know that the Roman world, in early Christianity, they persecuted the Christians left and right. They went through horrible persecution. And they were blown away by how these early Christians responded. They just couldn't resist. And they persecuted, and their response was always love. They were blown away. Historians were blown away. And it even changed the Roman government. That old Christian song. How many of you ever heard that? That old Christian song. They will know we are Christians by our love. If you continue to sing, I will stop. You're Christians by our love, yeah. That's more than an old school song. That's a new day reality. People, Jesus says this in John 13. He says, Jesus tells us that it's not only a command, but it's the way we will be known. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Not just your family, not just the people in this church, but our community. Just as I have loved you. So what he's doing here, he says, I'm going to tell you what it looks like. So you know that love that you have felt from me? Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Have you ever met somebody who just knows how to genuinely love others? I have an aunt and an Aunt Esther. And I know, I'm telling you, there is no, there. She is like in the top. She's gonna get an award, like most loving person award. And you know what? It's genuine. If you've ever met my Aunt Esther, and by the way, she chimes in. She might be even watching the service online. She's always chiming in on our web post, and it's always, I love you, Sheldon. I love you and Michelle. I'm praying for you. I love you. I mean, I'm telling you, it's legit. And you know how, people are like, dude, that's just too much. How does that happen? You know why? I have never met somebody who is more in love with Jesus in all my life. And when you fall in love with Jesus, man, you just get all mushy and gushy, just like my Aunt Esther. And it's crazy, but it's legit. And she will love the fly on a, she can love the fly, okay? That's all I'm saying. She just loves. And that's why we have said we commit. We understand that church ministry, we're in the people business, right? And so we are committed. How are we going to go about our ministry? We are going to be people loving. What does that mean? Our core value means to be people loving. We are going to love people. We are going to do our best. And some people make it difficult, not going to lie, right? But we have made a commitment that we are going to love you in the same manner that God loves us. And I'm going to be honest, I cannot do that on my own. And you know what? That puts the responsibility on me to just keep falling in love with Jesus. And it's going to make it easier to love other people. Maybe some of you, that's the message, that's the whole message you needed to hear today, is you're like, I'm having a hard time loving, you know. Well, maybe you just stop focusing on, and you just start focusing on loving him and see if that makes a difference. And you know, Jesus talks about that the greatest way to love somebody is to serve somebody. You see that word love, the word love that's used in the Bible is talking about, it's a verb, it's an action. And so that's why we've committed, is our next one of our core values is like, we're going to be a church that's servant hearted. We're not just going to tell people that we love them, but we're going to show it. You see, sometimes it's the greatest thing you can do to love somebody is just to serve them, just not even tell them. It's just to love them. I'm telling you right here, right now, one of the most loving things that you can do as a member of this church is to get on the serve team. People are like, that's not very spiritual. No. Let me show you in the Bible where I can say that's one of the most spiritual things. That is the definition of spiritual maturity. When you begin to love somebody, Jesus says, if you want to be a great leader, first learn how to serve. First learn how to serve. Number three, qualities of a legacy church is number three, we must be messengers of hope. Going back to Paul's words here, verse 5 and 6, he says, all this, it comes from your confident hope of all of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Life change. Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You see, we, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but we are in a world that is desperately looking for hope. A lot of people who are going through financial difficulties, physical challenges, emotional hurt, emotional pain, and they're screaming, I'm looking for hope. Do you have any hope? And I'm looking around at a congregation and saying, we have the answer. We found the hope. How many of you have found the hope? You have found the hope. We had testimonies of people who said, I found the hope. And the hope is changing my life, and it can change yours. There's people who are trying to find hope in their work. They're trying to find hope in their finances, in all the things that they own. They're trying to find it in their looks. That's not going to work for me. Finding it in people, trying to find it in relationships. But Jesus is the hope of the world. Paul tells us as he gives us this challenge, and this is a challenge for every single person in this room, okay? He says this. He says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is a messenger. An ambassador is somebody who goes to a foreign land and say, hey, I get messages from the homeland, from the president, and he tells me to tell you, okay? He says, God is making his appeal through us. I want everybody to do this. Just take your finger and say that. Who, me? Who, me? Yeah, you. God is making his appeal through you. You see, you are an ambassador. You are a messenger of hope. And if you have the hope that you have found in Jesus, and some of you are like, it's kind of hard to describe. I get that. But you have that hope. You have a testimony. You have hope. Some of you are just like, man, when I die, it's all good. Because I'm going to be in heaven. It's all good. It's all good. And I'm going to tell you that right now. If you don't have that this morning, I'm going to talk to you in just a few moments of how you can have that hope. But you have this hope. And we're called to be messengers of hope. I heard this story of this lady who was at a Walmart. And she's just going, a single mom, just going through desperate times. And she's all embarrassed. She's got people in the line behind her because, yeah, I can't pay for that. I can't just take that out. Yeah, take that out. And she's all embarrassed, and she's just been going through a difficult time and just like, oh, this is so embarrassing. Lady behind her says, no, ma'am, put those back in her bag. I'm going to take care of that. She says, no, you don't have to do that. No, ma'am, I've been where you were at. I've been hurting. I've been in a lot of pain. I didn't have the finances, and somebody did the same for me. And when I walked out of the store, they shared with me this message of hope. And I walked away from the store, and I had hope. And so I want to show you, I want to express you this message of hope as it was expressed to me. And that lady's life was changed because somebody decided to be a messenger of hope. And that's why, folks, we've made it our core value that we are going to be a mission-driven church. This is not a grace-filled country club here. We're on a mission. You can just look at this as we're an army. We're on a mission for God. And we're going to do this. We are going to eagerly accept Jesus' mission on our lives. We believe that the church does not exist for us, but we are the church and we exist for the world. You can clap at that because that's good stuff right there. We don't exist to make you happy. We exist for this mission for the world, to be messengers of this world. And therefore, we will reach people no one is reaching by doing things no one else is doing. That's why your lead pastor will stand up here wearing a Brett Favre old school jersey. Because, yeah, yeah. And all the Vikings fans said, yeah, I thought you'd say that. All right. Security. All right. In closing here, a former member said, we know Jesus came to live to give us an abundant life. And our desire for you is that you experience real life found only in Jesus. And if you're here today and maybe you came to just watch the baptisms and you're just kind of intrigued by this hope thing, I want you to know you can have hope. You can have the pain, the challenges that you're going through, there is hope. And that hope is Jesus. You see, Jesus took all the sin and the pain in the world and he took it to the cross and he died on the cross for your sins. And that moment right there, it changed everything. But he didn't stay on that cross. He came back three days later, and he was alive and kicking, and he is alive today. Amen? And we can have hope in that. And Jesus said, this world, you will go through difficulties and challenges, but there is a place of eternity. And do you realize that you make the decision for eternity in this life? And you can choose heaven with God, or you can choose the other place with that other guy. You can have hope through Jesus. And when you choose that hope, I'm telling you, you got a whole crowd full of people here who say, it changes everything. If you would like to receive that hope today, Jesus is only a prayer away. Will you just pray with me right now? If that's you this morning, you want to make that commitment. Just like we prayed before, God, I need you. I hear about this hope thing, and I sure am desperate for it. And I'm asking you to come and live inside of me and to forgive me of my sins. I recognize you took that to the cross, and you rose again so that I can have freedom. I'm still figuring out what that means, but I know I need it. My heart is calling for it. So come and live inside of me. Change me from the inside out. Today, I choose to live with you in this life of life change. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, can we just give God praise for this ministry of life change? Paul says this. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And if you're going to err on any of them, don't err on the side of love, okay? I want to challenge us, church. 115 years, man, we lots to celebrate. Please, don't leave today. Come, we're going to open up the doors here. Come and celebrate a meal with us and get to fellowship with together. But this 115 years, I don't even think we're into the first quarter. All right? This ministry only continues on. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to live a legacy. I want to pass on a legacy. Will you please stand with me right now? I want to pass on a legacy. I'm going to live a legacy. I'm going to pass it on. I'm going to be a person of faith, hope, and love. In Jesus' name, all around this room, Lord, you see people who are standing and say, Lord, I want to make a difference in my world. I want to be a hope messenger. I want to be known by love. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, I pray each and every person here today that they not forget. Let the legacy continue in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.